Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tippy Talk, TNT in the Night, where we talk about overcoming difficult situations or just handling it better. We go through our daily adventures where we ask the question, what have you done today? What stands out today? And what is the most important thing that happened today? How have you overcome today? And what was your challenge of the day? We march into the other side of midnight, walking in the retrospect, tracking our behavior, not to judge ourselves or feel bad about it, but to find ways to improve our tomorrow. Presented to you by the E Factor, we talk to people who were faced with major challenges and find their struggles and triumphs and lessons that they were blessed with due to the way they rose to the call of the other side, the way they faced situations that they never thought they would have to face. Because what you will find when the unexpected hits you in the face is that there are resources deep within you that begin to bubble to the surface and make themselves available to you and invite you to help yourself to situations that you never saw before. And now we have a special show coming up all the way from Israel. And a situation there that we really need to know about here. So listen and go to that
interview. And I'm talking today to Israel, to Ellis Schumann, who's an author. We talked last time about his book called Valley of Depressions, and I got the depressions right, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I was having a hard time with that. And when we finished the conversation, I will play a little clip so you can see exactly what happened and exactly when I asked him how things are going in Israel, because I know it's really rough out there. And just as it began to answer, the sirens went off for the first time in your area, right?
That is correct, yes.
This is a clip from our last conversation, which was 2 days ago. Listen to what happened. To deviate a little bit from this topic, I really wanted to ask you what the atmosphere is, because over here in Israel, because over here what I'm hearing is that there is things being thrown, being exploded every day, and it's very tense, that somebody killed an Arab boy, which is really sad, that Jewish kids would do that. Is the atmosphere really, really tense now? Do you feel that?
I've been living in Israel for over 40 years, and unfortunately, I can report that I've lived through wars, I've lived through terror attacks, I've lived through bombardments, obviously not raining down on my home. As Israelis, we have to build up a very thick skin. It's not easy living in this part of the Middle East. We are surrounded by people who have only one desire, and that's basically to push us into the sea. As I'm speaking now,
there we go.
Siren is sounding in my community. It's probably not a rocket attack here, but it could be anywhere in the region, and that is why you're hearing this even on tape live. That was not staged.
Wow. Does that mean that you have to go to shelter?
I do not fear an attack here.
Somebody's trying to tell you. Yeah.
The rocket attack could be dozens of kilometers away, but that's just the reality we are living in.
But it could be there. It could be. You don't know.
It could be.
You don't know. So, yeah. Wow. So this siren is telling you that you need to go to shelter, but because you're immune to it and you've heard it so many times.
Actually, Tippy, to be safe, I'm going to cut this conversation short.
Yes.
And I will let you know afterwards that I am okay, but because it is always better to be safe than sorry, I'm going to say goodbye to you tonight. This was not planned, but this is the reality of living.
That was 2 days ago, and now we return to today's broadcast with our conversation today.
Room or a bomb shelter, so the safest room in our house, as in many houses in Israel, is the stairwell, because it's seemingly protected. That's where she went to sit while she heard the siren, and then she heard booms, which were the sign that the rockets fired from Gaza were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome anti-rocket system, and two rockets exploded, were intercepted in the skies pretty much over our home, maybe 10 kilometers away, but the booms were clearly heard inside our house.
What's really amazing is that the way you stayed, it's really scary to be in a place where rockets are thrown basically, and their purpose is to kill people and to kill as many people as possible. And you live in that kind of environment for so many years that you kind of like matter of fact about it. Well, you know, there's rockets falling, the staircase is safe. Well, if a rocket falls on top of that building, that staircase is not going to be such a great place to be either. So how do you adjust to that kind of life? What does it do? You become more stressed on a daily basis, or is it worse for us for far away? Does it seem like?
Well, my wife and I have both lived in Israel for over 40 years. This is unfortunately not the first time that we've experienced rocket attacks. It happened 2 years ago. It happened in the first Gulf War. At that time, rockets were being fired. Scud rockets were being fired from Iraq at Tel Aviv. Rockets going over our house on their way to Tel Aviv. That time we were sitting with gas masks on our face in our bedrooms, our supposedly safe rooms against potential chemical warfare, which luckily didn't happen. So it's not something new. I guess for someone who has just come to Israel for the first time, it's very strange, very scary. Yes, for us it's scary too, because rockets could fall anywhere in our country, but we've been through it before, and unfortunately there's no easy solution to the problem. There's no way that we could say it's going to stop tomorrow. We don't know, and it could happen again in the future. And I'm not saying we're immune to it. We've lived with it in the past. We know what's involved. We know that there is a chance, but it's a very small chance, that a rocket will come out of the sky and fall on our house. It could happen, but you know, there's also a chance while you're driving on the highway that your car could be in a traffic accident, even if it's not your fault. Things happen, and you must take the precautions to prevent anything from happening, the best of your ability. And of course, the Israeli government and the home front authorities have instructed Israelis what to do. We are all very well exercised in what we have to do when the sirens sound, and it prevents injuries and deaths, and we take precautions.
I do understand. First of all, I just want to tell you, my niece was actually on a flight on the way to Jerusalem when we were talking. So she arrived exactly when all hell breaks loose. And so, yeah, I'm totally personally involved. But before I go on, I really would like to introduce you. I'm talking to Elie Shuman, who is right now sitting in the middle of basically a war zone, being attacked with rockets falling all over the place. Elie Shuman is an author of an amazing book called Valley of the Thracians. My brain still like stuck. And also you work full-time and is living in Tel Aviv, was born in the United States. He's been living in Israel for the past 40 or more years, and has been through this, unfortunately, many, many times. And I just wanted to establish that before we go on. And I want to read to you, Elie, what it is that I just received on Facebook from a woman called Nada Deep, and I want to know how you would reply to that. So okay. Nada wrote, "Israel is the murderer. Their day will come, and I pray that you, Tippi, on E-Factor, will be there to witness it. How dare you say that they are innocent? Israel are the animals. They are the pigs and the ones that they're graded, whatever that means. You will turn you into a pig, you pig." How would you reply to something like that?
Okay, there's a lot of civilians who are falling victim to the conflict, which has been going on for very many years on both sides. There's Israelis who have died in the conflict. There's Palestinians who have died. There's Israelis who have been injured. There are Palestinians who have been injured. I don't blame every single Palestinian for what is happening. There are a small number of extremist militant terrorists that are firing rockets, but that doesn't mean I put my blame or even hate all the Palestinians. They shouldn't be suffering. I feel for their pain.
But do you think that all the Palestinians hate you?
I live in a democracy. I live in a country that is willing to make sacrifices for peace. My government does not broadcast propaganda saying that all Palestinians are the enemy. I fear that the person who wrote those words is very much swayed by propaganda and things that she is being fed by people who do not want to make peace. And it's unfortunate because, you know, Palestinians are human beings, Israelis are human beings. There's no reason we can't live, if not together, at least side by side, separately. There's no reason I should inflict on their life. There's no reason they should inflict on my life. I don't believe they are pigs. I hope they don't believe that I am pigs. I'm sorry if someone said something like that.
Well, you're right. It's propaganda. And unfortunately, I think the majority of people that are exposed to that propaganda do believe that Israel is the enemy, Israel is the murderer. And I don't know that there's anything you can do to change their mind. They've been brainwashed to believe that. So
I'm not going to try. It's not my job to try to change their mind.
No.
I hope a situation will come where that will not be the case.
Yeah. But until that situation comes, and you do have to go with it, you have been able to go to work today because obviously you were driving home from work. So life is kind of more normal than we think here, because if you're... From what I thought was that nobody's going to work, none of the stores are open, everything is shut down.
Let me give you some examples. On the night that we talked, the other night when our conversation was interrupted by a siren in my area, and that rocket happened to fall not far from my home in the Judean Hills, a wedding was taking place in Ashdod. Ashdod is a city on the Mediterranean coast, south of Tel Aviv. A wedding was taking place. The bride and groom were inside. The siren went off, and a rocket fell in the parking lot outside the hotel hall. And, of course, all the guests were a little panicky, but the celebration continued. You know, life goes on. People get married. A concert in Jerusalem, a concert with one of Israel's rock stars was canceled because police said, well, we can't have a concert with 6,000 people sitting in seats outdoors when there's a possibility of a rocket falling from the sky. So a rock star's concert was canceled by a rocket. So some things continue and some things we have to take precautions. Police could not allow that massive congregation of people to sit there outside Jerusalem in the Jerusalem air because of a possibility of a rocket attack. So some things continue as normal. Other things, we take precautions.
Yeah, so it's a lot more normal than we think it is over here. And the thing I think the most aggravating is there doesn't seem to be an end of this kind of life in Israel. It doesn't seem that it's going to end anytime soon anyway.
You know, unfortunately, things just keep happening. It's not easy living in this part of the Middle East. And this is one of the daily struggles we are faced. But we will not give in to terrorists. We will not give in to terror. We will continue to live our lives and go about our normal routines as much as possible.
What do you think would make this stop right now? What do you think that needs to happen? How do Israelis feel about that?
Well, there's a lot of difference of opinion. Right now, it's the beginning stages of what I would probably define cautiously as a war. At this stage, luckily, there's no loss of life on the Israeli side. So right now, Israelis are pretty much united about the need to continue to stop, to take all efforts, even military efforts, to stop the enemy, which is, again, not the Palestinian people, but the Hamas militant leadership of the Palestinians, to stop them from firing rockets into Israel. That feeling could change if and when the war intensifies, if Israel launches a ground offensive into Gaza, and if there is loss of life, the feeling, this complete unanimous support for such a military operation could change. These situations are usually, you know where you're going in, you don't know where you're coming out, and it's not always the best possible result.
I saw yesterday a flash to CNN that said the 49 Israelis were killed. You just said there was no loss of life. Was that misinformation?
There has been no loss of life on the Israeli side. Tonight, about 30 minutes ago, a rocket landed. There was a direct hit on a house in Beersheba. No one was injured in that. There was another rocket landed somewhere in the south. One person was severely injured, another person lightly injured. That is the extent of the casualties tonight, that no one has lost their life in Israel. In the Gaza Strip, yes, Palestinians have lost their lives. Some of them are innocent civilians, some of them children. There is no escaping that kind of casualty in the conflict that we have going now, but that is the situation.
To go back to you, as far as living a normal life under the circumstances, did you write this morning?
This morning I continued my normal schedule of getting up, leaving the house very early, sitting at my desk with a cup of coffee and taking an hour to write and edit creatively before I started my work day. I worked the full day, but I have to admit it was interrupted twice. My job is in Ramat Gan near Tel Aviv. It was interrupted twice by sirens. And like the other employees in my building, I headed into the safe room. There's a safe room on each floor of the building, which is supposedly the most protected room of the building. There are no windows there. The walls are reinforced. And the minute we heard the siren, we headed there. We stayed there. Even after the siren ended, the instructions are to stay in the safe room for 10 full minutes. Towards the end of the 8 or 9 minutes, we already headed back to our desk because the rockets were intercepted over Tel Aviv.
So your routine of getting up early, driving in towards Jerusalem, and working on your work for 1 hour, that routine was not interrupted. You were interrupted afterwards when you got to work.
Exactly.
And when you were writing this morning, were you a little bit more in a different frame of mind? Were you concerned about what was going on outside, or were you able to just focus in on what you wanted to do?
Well, last night actually was a little bit quieter than the previous night when we had talked and our conversation was interrupted by a siren. Last night was a little quieter. There were no interruptions, no sirens in my home, so actually, I got a good night's sleep, which is
nice.
Possible. There are people in Israel who are not getting a good night's sleep, but I did. And this morning I got up. Everything was fine. I was in a good frame of mind. And again, you know, you feel that the situation could get better until you hear the sirens going off and you realize that it's just not going away. There's still the danger.
So do you feel like you're struggling through tough times right now, or do you feel that it's more a way of life?
These are definitely tough days for all Israelis. There's almost no part of the country that is safe. I mean, in the extreme north of Israel, civilians are out of rocket range of the Gaza Strip. But today, for the first time, sirens sounded along the shores of the Dead Sea to the far east of Israel. That's probably the extreme, as far as you can go to the east from the Gazan rockets. Rockets landed yesterday, or the day before, I can't remember, near Zichron Yaakov, which is pretty much very close to Haifa in the north. So they're, a good part of the country is undergoing a very tense kind of situation. It's not a normal situation. Obviously, we don't want to continue like this. Our television news broadcast is 24 hours a day. Well, not 24 hours a day, but it is constant news, analysis, reports, video footage from the rockets. It's just going on and on. It's a little hard to relax.
The stressful situation is what would you say, what would be the best advice for someone that's going through this, someone that doesn't know? For me, I do know. I remember I was very young in the Six-Day War. I think it was in 1967, 68, something like that. I was a really young child, and the sirens went off eventually. There was a lot of preparation. The sirens went off, and we had to go to a shelter. And we ran downstairs to the shelter in my building, and my little brother, who was maybe two at a time, threw a ball on the wall, and the wall came tumbling down practically. And it's like, this is not exactly safe. And I remember playing and jumping and skipping all the way to the shelter somewhere in Jerusalem, which I don't even know what it's called, the place. But as soon as we got to the shelter, we walked through the door, and the bomb exploded 3 feet away on the outside.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I know what it's like. But for people who have never been through, and then we had to stay in a stinky shelter with people sleeping on mattresses for more than a week, and the place did not smell very nice. But as a kid, like I said, to me it was like a big, fun game with a lot of people, like a big party. I knew there was a life and death danger. Even though I was barely 8, I knew that. But it's not the same like an adult, really understanding what's going on. What would you advise people? What kind of frame of mind is the best way to take it?
Well, obviously, there are a lot of people who are experiencing this for the first time. There are tourists who are in Israel. There are people still visiting Israel, visiting the tourist sites, who are exposed to sirens and running for shelter for the first time. I guess the first time you hear a siren and you think, the bomb, the rocket's coming my way. Well, again, the chances of that happening are quite very small, but you still must take precautions. You cannot take warnings lightly. The hotels where tourists are staying, I know from friends who are staying in a hotel in Tel Aviv, the hotel managements are telling their tourists where to go if a siren sounds, what to do. Restaurants, store owners, everyone knows the drill. Israelis know what to do. Visitors who are experiencing this for the first time should just listen to advice, know where to go, and be prepared. Be prepared. It's not like you cannot visit Israel. Yes, tourists are still coming, and it is still safe to walk around Israeli streets. But if and when a siren sounds, you take precautions. There are bomb shelters. There are safe places. You learn to react like Israelis, and for a short period of time, your routine will be interrupted. But the siren will stop, the rocket will be intercepted wherever it's intercepted, and you will continue on your way. So it's scary, and it's unusual. It's an unusual experience that probably most American citizens have never experienced, rockets falling on their city. But you deal with it by going on with your routine, but taking the precautions when you need to take those precautions.
I see over here, it says rocket landed in southern Tel Aviv. Are you near southern Tel Aviv?
No, I work in Ramat Gan, which is to the east of Tel Aviv, but east of central Tel Aviv. What landed in south Tel Aviv today, the morning, the first time I went to the safe room at my office, which was about 8 o'clock in the morning, parts of a rocket fell from the sky, possibly after an interception, and landed in a neighborhood called Florentine in South Tel Aviv. And one part of the rocket fell in the lot of a gas station, luckily causing no damage. The owner of the gas station was interviewed on television, and he said, you know, if it had exploded or it landed near a gas pump, obviously the results would have been much more violent and full flames and everything. But luckily it was just part of the rocket landed there and elsewhere in southern Tel Aviv. But again, no injuries were incurred by those rocket launches this morning.
Yeah, now that you mention it, it does say rocket remnants landed inside. Not the rocket itself. Exactly.
It was parts of the rocket, yes.
Yeah. So if you could be talking directly to the Palestinians, what would you tell them?
Again, there are Palestinians in the West Bank, and there's Palestinians in Gaza. The Palestinians in the West Bank have had a relatively quiet year. Yes, I'm not saying that life is a quiet time, and not saying life is easy for them. The Palestinians who live in Gaza, again, have the Hamas leadership. The Hamas is an organization defined as a terrorist organization whose charter still calls for the destruction of the State of Israel. And I don't know if I even have a common language with Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. One citizen was interviewed tonight on Israeli television talking live from Gaza City, and all he could say were words like the words you started this broadcast with Israeli government is responsible, Israeli government is bombing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could even have a polite conversation with him at this time during the rocket fire, during the Israeli strikes against Gaza. It's not easy to talk to people when your countries are basically at war. Obviously, things would be different if there was a ceasefire and we could stop hostilities on both sides and then try to find a common language to talk to them. I don't know, as a civilian, as someone who's not in the Israeli government, if I have any solutions to offer, but maybe at that time we could share our experiences and at least understand that we are both human beings.
Well, I can guarantee you that a polite conversation is not going to happen anytime soon between you and them. And the Gaza is also something I wanted to talk about, because isn't the Gaza the part that Israel just returned in the name of peace, and the Gaza is where all the problems are coming from? But if you have a bunch of Palestinians, and the people I'm talking about that you would address would be the Palestinians that are not necessarily terrorists, they're not necessarily going to come and kill, but they do think that Israel is the occupier and the, as they put it, and the bad guy and hurting them. And they have to listen to you, because they're tuning in right now and they're listening to you. As an Israeli citizen, what would you tell them?
This land that I live in, there are two peoples living in it, Israelis and Palestinians. I mean, that's a real generalization, because there's other people and other people of other faiths and religions here as well.
Yeah, there are Christians and there are other people. Yes. But mostly.
The general picture is that there are Israelis and there's Palestinians. It's not one or the other. It's not a situation where we can both live together and fully live out our dream of independence. I think the solution, as many Israelis do, means Israelis here, Palestinians there, meaning Palestinians would have their own state of some kind, borders would be defined, and they would live their lives there, and we would live our lives here, and then we wouldn't be on each other's throats all the time, and then Palestinians could drop the word occupiers and occupation from their vocabulary once they have their own area of independence that is there under their control. And Israel, as an Israeli, I wouldn't have any hard feelings that I was controlling the destiny of another people, of another nation. That solution, two states for two peoples, has been talked about for many, many years. It is a solution that is theoretically possible. Many people on both sides, not everyone, many people on both sides envision that as a solution to the conflict, and it's the difficulty of actually getting there and agreeing that on that solution that has been delayed over and over that just makes tempers continue to flare every once in a while. And that's a shame, because I think we could solve this problem if we really wanted to.
Do you think there's any Israeli anywhere that would be against giving the Palestinians the wrong country or a state?
I think on both sides, both among Israelis and Palestinians, there are those who oppose that solution. There are those Israelis who say that the entire land of Israel was given to the Jewish people, and Palestinians, if they don't like it, they can just leave. There are Israelis who say that, and there are Palestinians who say that Israel are the occupiers of their land. Israel has no right to existence, and only it should be only Palestine. And unfortunately, those extreme views prevent the majority of reaching a decision. I didn't plan to go into a political discussion.
I didn't either.
That's the situation. We cannot avoid it, because part of that discussion, that debate, is the root of everything that's going on today with the rockets firing over our head. We cannot avoid the solution or discussion of trying to end. We've tried, and we just haven't reached the solution.
But you see, I was under the impression, and I guess, and I'm glad that you clarified, I was under the impression that there would not be any Israeli that would not, or that would be against giving a Palestinian a state. Of course, the problem, this is my perception, and I have not been there in over, we left right after the Six-Day War, so you know we haven't been there in a long time. But my perception was that very few Israelis, if any, would be against giving the Palestinians a state. And the problem with that is because if the Palestinians can agree to allow Israel to survive and not say Israel has no right to be here, and I thought that was it, but if you're saying there's really people on both sides that are against it, then it's a little bit different than what I thought.
Yeah, it is a little different. It's a little more complicated and not as easily solved. Even the parties that are, political parties that are part of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition are opposed to the peace process, even the process that Secretary of State John Kerry was leading up until it collapsed a few months ago. There are parties that oppose that process, that didn't want any movement towards a two-state solution. But again, that's
the situation here. And
that's what's going on here.
Yes, and we're coming up on the break once again on the E-Factor here on Intention Radio. I'm Tippi Feldenstein talking to Elie Shuman in Israel about a political discussion that we did not intend to discuss at all, because I wanted to more focus on how the personal life is. Hi, this is Tippi Feldenstein. I'm going to end this segment with this. I will continue it tomorrow with the final segment of our talk. So it's been wonderful, and I look forward to tomorrow when we finish our conversation. And before we go to tomorrow, I would like to share something else and why I think this is really an important issue. It's really important for people to understand what's going on, because there's so much propaganda, and you can see how generous an Israeli citizen is with his outlook towards the Palestinians, that there are Palestinians that really are not attacking. But the Israeli over and over again show that they're not interested in killing civilians. They're not interested in hurting anyone. They're interested in just stopping the bombing. And there's a video that shows an Israeli pilot about to bomb a terror target, and then something he saw stops him cold. And what is it that he saw? He saw they believe that Hamas, okay, so in the middle of the violence, there's a video that shows in the Jewish news an outlet of a pilot about to bomb a place, and then he is heard saying, there are people close to our target. He says into the speaker where he's talking on the Gaza bombing run,
And that's what he reported. And it looks like there are people, possibly children, in our target area. What does he get in return? He gets, we are not going to strike this target now, reportedly comes the operator's response. Let's move on from now. We're not going to strike now because there's a civilian there. And from Hamas, what you get is rockets, retaliatory bombing, turning into as many Israelis as they can possibly kill. The Israelis are accused of striking at the center of a disabled civil mosque, and they acknowledge hitting at least one mosque, saying the central Gaza religious structure was housing a secret cache of weapons. That's what the New York Times reported. So over and over again, basically, the Palestinians do deserve to have a better life. The Israelis deserve to live in peace. And the common enemy here is not the Palestinian people who are doing nothing and can do nothing to stop it, or the Israelis that are doing nothing. They can't do anything to stop Hamas. The common enemy is Hamas. They're the enemy of the Palestinians. They're the enemy of Israelis. And Hamas is just a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's the enemy. That's what we've got to understand here, because in order to solve it, we have to know who the enemy is. The common enemy for the Israelis and for the Palestinian people is Hamas, and those who insist that murder is the way to go. Those who insist that they will not stop killing, they will not stop murdering. Hamas does not like the Palestinians, their own people. They hurt them. Hamas does not like anyone they want to kill. And I will continue this broadcast tomorrow. Until then, let your talent be your potion.
We have come to the end of Tippy Talk tonight on the E Factor Show. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and you are listening to Black Talk Radio. E Factor stands for the energy factor. It is the factor that we adjust in order to take on the daily challenges and mold our life into the energy of our desires. My book, Planning Power, is available on Amazon. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in Planning Power, and my book should pop up either first or second in line. Or you can go to the website and find out more about it, which is lifemodification.net. That's .net, not .com. You can also read the first chapter and see if you wish to read more. And most important, we invite you, the listener, to participate. You can call into the E-Factor Live on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, and give us your opinion, your question, your idea, or your challenge of the day. We also invite you to follow us. All you have to do is click on that follow button right there on top, and you'll receive updates and notices every time we broadcast. We will be broadcasting randomly throughout the week, but always here live on Monday. Until we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.
In Israel, hundreds of rockets fired by Gaza militants also sent civilians running into bomb shelters and staying close to home. However, there have been no fatalities there. While the toll in Gaza topped 120 on Saturday from the five-day offensive. In nearby Jabalaya, a 77-year-old Ibrahim Mahmoud Dakoud looked on grimly as several young men from the neighborhood helped him sift through the rubble of his two-story home, leveled early Friday by a bomb dropped from an Israeli warfare. A father of eight, seven married daughters, and an unmarried son, Daoud sounded defiant as he considered the latest violent round in the long-running struggle between Israel and Hamas. It was not clear why the home was targeted. Israel says it targets buildings used by Hamas for military purposes. And this is what he says. "We don't need houses," Daoud said. "What we need is a country. I wish I were a young man so I could wear a suicide belt and go blow myself up in Tel Aviv." some quietly criticize Hamas, that's some Palestinians, quietly criticize Hamas. Abu Ali, a driver for his family business, identified himself only by his first name to avoid Hamas retribution, because Palestinians, if they say anything against Hamas, they will be killed as easily as an Israeli would. He insisted that at least in his immediate neighborhood, the movement was widely reviled. Everybody here hates Hamas, he said, but they're too afraid to say so publicly. Our food comes from Israel, and what we give them in return is rockets. Then he says, rockets don't even make little holes in the ground, which is not exactly true, because rockets can blow up buildings. But the truth is that I'm hopeful for, and I'm really, really celebrating, is the fact that more people and the Palestinians that are exposed to so much propaganda against a country that really does not want to hurt them are waking up and saying, wait a minute, we really don't want to fight, we really don't want to die, we do want to live peacefully, and maybe Israel does deserve to be alive. Maybe Israel doesn't need to be, maybe they deserve it. And realizing that Israel really is not the enemy, even though they've been told that Israel is the enemy from the day they were born. And it's very difficult to overcome something that you've believed as a child, that you've accepted as a child. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that that there is hope, that people are waking up and realizing that there's no need to kill anyone, that they could live peacefully side by side, that they will be very happy. Israel would be very happy if the Palestinians would stop trying to destroy the country. And we do continue, everybody continues to really understand, beginning to wake up and understand that we're all connected. We're all one. There is not us and them. And people like Hamas and people like any terrorist organization like the Muslim Brotherhood, they also need to be woken up. They need to understand that there's no us or them. You kill somebody, it's like you're killing yourself. You can't do that. And, of course, Israel cannot lie down and die. They have done that in Germany, just died without fighting back, and it's not right either. So if you have any answers, any good solutions, any good, peaceful, non-hateful words to say, leave a comment. If it's hateful, it will be deleted. We do not want to hear it. But if it's positive and if it can help us move forward into a better place, please leave a comment here. Please let us know anything that you can do. I believe that if we communicate human to human, both people that want peacefully, that understand that the other person also has a right to exist, that's the only way we can solve this issue, we can solve this problem, we can solve the wars here and everywhere else in the world.